and welcome back to the Brainstorming Basketball Podcast. I am joined by Harrison Liao, and maybe at some point Yosef Nasser will appear in here. Yosef, if you're hearing this, we miss you. I don't know where you are. I hope that you're safe. Harrison, what are your thoughts on what transpired today with the major trades?
Well, first of all, it's been a while. Just kidding. It's been literally 24 hours. My first thought is that, like, okay, so I actually went back and listened to the one that we did yesterday because I thought it'd be kind of a fun thought experiment to be like, okay, 24 hours later, we did a trade deadline preview. A bunch of crazy shit happened today. What was everybody kind of feeling yesterday, taking what we thought as kind of like the zeitgeist, and like, how has that changed today? The biggest thing is like, wow, what a turnaround for the Pacers, because we talked for, I think, 20 minutes, the three of us, about just how the Pacers might be the worst, like the most bleak franchise in the league as far as the direction they were headed. And in 24 hours, they have managed to kind of make their roster make sense now. Like, I definitely like the fact that they finally split up Sabonis and Turner. Much respect to Sabonis. I think Sabonis is a really good player, but they had to split them up. They got a legit, you know, potential star guard in Tyrese Halliburton, which, you know, we'll get to the Kings, I'm sure. But they have Duarte, who a lot of people like around the league. I think they've managed to kind of satisfy Rick Carlisle, probably, of like, hey, we're not just gonna blow it up. Like, you'll have a team to coach. I don't know. I'm really impressed, I think, with the decisiveness which would they move forward on this.
So just to recap our audience, the trade of the day, at least to me, well, there was two big ones, but the one that we're referring to, the Pacers acquiring Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson for Jeremy Lamb, Justin Holiday, and Sabonis. And, you know, the thing with me with the Pacers is I agree with you that this move definitely sets them in a much brighter direction than they were at yesterday. But I'm waiting to see what else they have in store, because I don't know if Malcolm Brogdon is a part of their thinking process going forward. I don't know if, like, they have a guy like Torrey Craig.
Yeah.
The Pacers are not going to catch up to the 10th seed at this point. They're not going to make the play-in tournament. So do you keep a guy like Torrey Craig, or do you kind of ship him away? I think there are more moves to be made. So I'm fascinated to see. But, you know, Halliburton in Indiana.
What the fuck?
Talk about 21 years old. A guy that looks like a franchise player, and Sacramento basically chose De'Aaron Fox over Halliburton, which is, you know, an interesting choice to say the least. I would have personally taken Halliburton. Would you?
But did they though? Did they choose Fox over Halliburton? Because I'm reading now. I mean, you never know with trade deadline reports. I'm reading now though that the Kings are not done.
To me, I took that as Harrison Barnes and Rashawn Holmes, but you never know.
You never know. It's a wait.
But that means that they're choosing Davion, right? Or are they just choosing nobody?
I'm thinking it might be the fire sale that we were talking about yesterday, like the full on. Maybe they just look at this team and they say, I don't want any of it. I don't want any of it. Let's just build it all back up from scratch, you know, around Sabonis, and then whatever other assets we can get back from that, we can flip it and start to head in a completely different direction if they don't like Fox. But, you know, the odds are they probably do keep him. But I'm shocked. I think everybody is. Like, why? I don't understand why they feel like Fox Sabonis makes more sense than, you know, I mean, could they have even done Halliburton Sabonis? Like, could they have just done this deal with De'Aaron Fox in the deal instead of Halliburton? I'm not sure exactly like how the contracts would have shaped out, but I can't imagine that wasn't a discussion that they had, and that they, you know, somehow landed on this side of it. I don't know. I don't understand it.
Because the Kings are – the West is so bad at the bottom, and because they're in the race for 10th, just let's look at their starting lineup really quick after the deal, because I think it's fascinating the direction of the franchise. So you have De'Aaron Fox as of now. Again, all of this is as of now. This might change in the next 24 hours. De'Aaron Fox, Davion Mitchell. I'm assuming it's going to be Harrison Barnes, Sabonis, and Rashawn Holmes at the five. That is a very interesting starting lineup. And then their bench is still very bleak behind it. I mean, Justin Holiday will be added to the bench. Jeremy Lamb might get some playing time. But this team, I mean, I don't know if anybody's followed the Kings, by the way. Buddy Hield, Terrence Davis are now gone. Terrence Davis is out for the season. They don't have much in terms of rotation depth. So I don't know. Are they trying to make the playoffs for the first time in forever? Is that the goal? You can never tell with the Kings what the objective is, right?
I think the only clear objective they have is to trade Marvin Bagley. You know, they want to move this guy badly.
Yeah. The crazy thing is like they're literally like reports stating exactly what you said in the headline. Kings badly, desperately.
Yeah, you said that yesterday. Bagley.
And it's just like, how did this guy outlast Tyrese Halliburton? The thing about Halliburton was he was in the press saying, I love
him. He wanted to be there.
Yeah. I want to be here. And you get rid of him. And it just seems like such a move that is so, if any team was to make this move in the league, it is a Sacramento thing to do. And I don't mean to be offensive. I want to see the Kings succeed. Like, when we were growing up, you had the cowbells going off at Arco Arena, Kings and Lakers. Those series were epic. Sacramento is a great basketball town. And I just feel like for the rest of our lives growing up, high school and into adulthood, we have been robbed of having a good team in Sacramento. I can't even imagine. If you were a Kings fan, Harry, would you still be a Kings fan after something like this?
I feel bad. And probably, I mean, I would go through what they're going through now, which is like, you know, jump ship. But, you know, I think, I do think Sabonis is a really good player. I think lost in all of this, you know, say what you want about how they handled it, but lost in all this is the fact that Sabonis is one of the best, like, passing big men in the league. He works his ass off. Like, he plays hard every single night. He's got real, you know, he's got this real balance of power and finesse that kind of, you know, in a very, very different way, but reminds you a little bit of like those Chris Webber years, right? Where you have this like fulcrum big man of the offense. Like, I think there's things to like about this team. You know, Fox is still exciting when he's pushing it in transition. You know, it's not an unwatchable team. You know, they're going to lose by 20 or 30 every night. But I mean, I don't know. Is it the worst situation in the entire league? I'm not sure. I think maybe we're overreacting a little bit. I also think, I mean, is there a chance that we're kind of overreacting to the Halliburton as like the next all NBA, you know, is this guy a surefire Hall of Famer? Like after, cause like, I feel like we have a tendency to do that with these trades is we pick a winner, we pick a side, and then we say like the principal piece of that side, you know, that team completely fleeced the other team. And they have this like, you know, they have this guy that they're going to make a freaking 30 for 30 on in 20 years. I'm not sure. I mean, Tyrese Halliburton so far has shown that he's a very, very good NBA player and he's getting better and he's 21. You know, those are all signs that this guy could become a great, great star one day. But is Sabonis that far off from it? Sabonis is what, like 24?
25.
25. He made an all-star team last year. I'm not sure that like the talent, you know, I'm not sure there is a talent discrepancy in what transpired here. What I will say that I think is the most startling and horrific part, if you're a Kings fan, is that you made a move that is completely lateral, right? You traded one fringe all-star talent for another guy who, at this stage in his career, Tyrese Halliburton and Domas Sabonis, they're both kind of fringe all-star talents. You haven't gone any direction. I'm not sure there was a way to become a buyer in a significant manner and try and push for, you know, to get into the play-in tournament, to get into the playoffs. I'm not sure that was available. But what I can say is that it sure as hell is available still to, you know, go the other direction and tank, which is always easier said than done. But you need to pick one way or the other. You're coming up against a fork in the road and you're just driving straight through the middle.
I love that though. Personally, I love it because it's so Sacramento. You said something about a minute ago that you don't think – I want to hear your thoughts on this because you said something along the lines of you don't think they have the bleakest future in the league. And after you said that, I was trying to piece together in my head, who do I think has a bleak has a more bleak future than Sacramento? And it was hard for me to think of one. Do you think about that for a second, Harry? Do you stand by that statement?
Yes, I think.
Okay. So would you say Detroit has a bleaker future than Sacramento? No.
The team is Portland.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I really think this is bad.
This is a good time to segue to that trade then. Portland and the Pelicans with a huge trade. Huge. I woke up to that trade. That was early in the morning. It was CJ McCollum going to the Pelicans, the end of the Dame and CJ era, and the Blazers got back Josh Hart, Tomas Satoransky, our favorite, Nikhil Alexander Walker, a guy by the first, I'm sorry, this guy's first name is Didi. I don't think I have ever heard of him. And, you know, we're basketball junkies, but, and the first round pick that they got is, if it lands between 5 and 14, it converts over to the Blazers. And it looks like it will convert over. So they do get a first in it as well. You know, initial thoughts for you, what did you think initially about this deal?
I think that CJ has kind of, you know, people are have been of the opinion this year, it seems like, that CJ is washed completely, it's over for him. And he started out really poorly, started out really, really slow, got hurt. But I think in recent weeks or so, I haven't watched a lot of Blazers, but I was reading that, like, in recent weeks, like, he's kind of found his form again. And I think, you know, people are forgetting that CJ McCollum is a really fucking good scorer. Like, he's a three-level scorer. His game is not dependent necessarily on athleticism. He needs to get, you know, separation off his step backs. You know, his footwork is very important to him. So he needs to keep, you know, that level of athleticism. But to me, this is not a guy who's going to age that poorly as he transitions into his, like, you know, his mid-30s. His contract is humongous, so it's a gamble for sure. But if you're the Pelicans, what else can you really do? You know, we're always talking about this, like, ticking time bomb of, like, we need to make Zion happy. We need to make Zion happy. Zion's going to jump to New York to play with RJ. You know what I mean? So, you know, I understand the logic here. That doesn't mean it's a great trade, right? Like, there's trades like this that happen every year where you put yourself in that GM's shoes, you put yourself in that front office's shoes, and you say, well, you know, I see what they're doing. I understand why they're doing that. Still a risk, still a gamble. It still might backfire, right? I've seen, you know, memes on Twitter of, like, this is the Pelicans, like, big three. I think they were like marketing themselves as, like, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, and Zion Williamson. That's not a big three. I mean, until we see it on court, I want to see this team compete against, you know, Golden State and and Phoenix, and then we'll decide. But, you know, to me, on paper, it makes sense.
Well, that was my next question to you, because, yeah, they are being marketed as a semi-big three. Let's assume Zion comes back healthy at some point in the future. I don't know when, but at some point. What do you think is the ceiling for this trio right here? Because I saw a lot of different opinions on this, and there were some people that I read saying that, you know, they're immediate contenders when they get all three. What do you think?
I think that you play basketball, you play offense, and then after you score or not score, you have to go back in the other court and play defense. And this team is going to be so fucking bad defensively. Like, CJ McCollum, Brandon Ingram, Zion Williamson, like, these guys are not known for their ability to play two-way basketball.
Herb Jones.
They do have Herb Jones, who can cover up all weaknesses. You're right. So, pencil him into the finals.
Okay. On a serious note, Harry, what do you think is their ceiling? Do you think that we'll ever see them make a second round?
It's all going to fall on Zion, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right? Like, if Zion is that top five tier, like, level talent, right? If he's like a first team all NBA type of star, which is possible, which you can't say that about a lot of guys in the league, even number one draft picks every year, right? Like, you're looking at this draft class, Paolo Banchero, Chet Holmgren, these are not guys that we, you know, most basketball fans and analysts are going to put into that conversation of, can this guy potentially carry a team deep into the playoffs? Zion is that type of talent. But there's a lot of possibilities, you know, between that end of the spectrum and this other end of the spectrum that we're currently on, which is the worst nightmare scenario for Zion, which is that he can't even get on the court. So I play the numbers. You know, I think if the Pelicans want to go deep into the playoffs, second round or further, Zion is going to need to be closer to the end of the spectrum of, this guy is a god tier top five NBA type player. To me, there are too many plausible and possible scenarios between that and him never playing again to make me think, I don't know, this is kind of a middling five seed.
What, in terms of a letter grade for the Pelicans on this deal, what would you give them?
I mean, that's a good question. I would say it's probably like a B, B plus. Again, I think it's a completely logical move. I think it's something that you kind of have to do before, you know, that anxiety of like Zion's free agency is coming, or Zion's, you know, his rookie deal is about to expire, whatever, he wants an extension. You know, you kind of have to get ahead of the curve a little bit. So I give it like a B, B plus, you know.
So the Portland side of this trade, again, they got guys like Josh Hart and Nickeil Alexander-Walker are probably the headliners of the deal. In terms of Portland, so the trade happens, and then a few hours go by, and obviously this was the team that traded away Norman Powell, Robert Covington earlier this week, and then a few hours go by, and I think the general consensus was Portland is blowing it up, and they are going into rebuild mode, and then a rumor comes out. Who knows how true rumors are at this time of the season, but the rumor was that they're going after Jeremy Grant, which is not a move that you make if you are going in that direction. It's a move that you make if you're buying, which is interesting because teams have been telling the Blazers for years, hey, Dame and CJ doesn't work. Dame and CJ doesn't work. And now that they got rid of McCollum and now that they have Anthony Simons, it looked like they were blowing it up, but maybe they were just kind of retooling to go even further in, but in a kind of slightly different direction. What do you think about the Blazers? And do you think that we could be onto something here? Or do you think that they are, in fact, going to try to lose games?
I don't think they're going to try to lose games, but I think they're going to lose games, which is like the worst possible scenario, right? Is like you have this aging superstar on your team, and you have Jeremy Grant, and, you know, you're losing by 15 points every night. Everybody's pissed off. You know what I mean? Like, I can totally see that happening. I think that the Blazers are kind of I read a report today that I don't know if this is true. This is all crazy trade deadline stuff. The team is fully committed to rebuilding around Dame, like, right now. And it has to be right now because he's, what, like 32, 33? And it looks like he's rapidly, rapidly declining. I mean, we're not even sure he's going to come back from his injury this year. Like the abdominal thing that he's been dealing with, it seems pretty serious. So it might be a scenario where maybe they can flip it the other way, right? Like maybe they can say to their fan base, like, hey, we're trying our best. Our best player is one of the best players in the world. He's not on the court right now. You know, we're going to lose games. Like that's just how it is. And then what do you know? Like they end up tanking their way into the lotto. That pick converts, you know, from New Orleans, and then next year they hit the ground running. That could totally happen. But it could also, the other scenario could happen too, where Dame is completely washed up. They trade for a Jeremy Grant who's like, you know, me, Detroit Jeremy Grant, and Simons gets sent back to purgatory, you know. And, you know, Little never gets healthy. You know, and this could end up being, I think, like one of the most tragic stories of all time. Because, you know, it's so easy to forget that before they got swept by AD and the Pelicans, you know, Jrue Holiday and AD and the Pelicans that year. Like, this is a team that we were finally starting to say, like, oh, Dame and CJ, it is starting to work. Like, CJ's getting his, Dame's getting his. You got Nurkic coming into his own. Nurkic breaks his leg. I mean, this is actually one of the great what-if teams. That year that Dame went nuclear, sent OKC home bye-bye with the hand wave. You know, they were playing well. Both of them were playing well. And then Dame hurts his ribs in game one against the Warriors, like that next series. I'm not saying they would have beat Golden State. That's a tall task for anybody. But I mean, the way Dame was playing that year, you can't rule it out. You know, I think that if you're a Blazers fan right now, I just feel bad for you. You know, I think almost worse than I feel for the Kings, because this team at one point had real chances to make the NBA Finals. And once you get there, I mean, you know, all bets are off. And it looks like now that's, to me, honestly, it's completely unattainable.
I completely agree. It looks like a great what-if story. It definitely looks unattainable at this point. You mentioned Lillard looks like he's kind of starting to teeter in the wrong direction in his career. It's bleak. You know, we talked about this when we talked about bleakest futures, and you mentioned them, and it definitely is very bleak. If there's I can't even do it. I was going to do, if there's any sort of positive, I'm excited to see Nikhil Alexander Walker in Portland.
Oh, I love him.
He doesn't, he hasn't, you know, done a lot of impressive things this season. So he did do some in, you know, the middle of this season in terms of last season, but he's more of a project, if anything.
I thought you were going to say, because of how fast the Pacers thing changed, I thought you were going to be like, dude, Ben Simmons to Portland. Like, let's get it.
I'm still in on that. Yeah. Speaking of Ben Simmons, the rumor is still getting stronger and stronger between the Ben Simmons side of things with Philadelphia and the Brooklyn Nets and James Harden. And, you know, these rumors, you have Steve Nash on one end basically saying twice, we're not making any moves at the deadline. You have the Nets side of things just saying it's not happening, nothing's happening. And then you have the Adrian Wojnarowski side of it saying it's getting closer, things are heating up. And it's like, we don't know who the heck to believe.
Oh, we know who to believe.
Who do you believe?
Come on. Woj is the TMZ of the NBA.
Yes, actually, you know what? I still, this is the time we can get into it. I still don't think it's going to happen. I wouldn't be shocked if it happened, but I still think that the Nets are going to keep that big three. But the thing that makes me a little timid is there was a lot of reports that came out today, but one of the reports was that Philadelphia, their organization, believes that Harden is not going back to Brooklyn in the offseason. They're convinced that he's out the door. So that, I mean, if the Nets,
I want to push back on that though, because if you look at Harden's, if you look at the teams that are going to have cap space this summer, it's a list of teams that are really not great. Like I can't tell you them off the top of my head. Someone was talking about it on their podcast today. I don't know. I forget whose pod it was, but they listed out, it's like four or five teams with cap space this summer and they're fucking terrible. So if you're not going to the Nets and you're leaving in free agency, where are you going unless it's a sign and trade? And if it's a sign and trade, why not just force your way out now?
What about back to Houston? Cause there was a rumor. But there was a rumor earlier this week that out of nowhere, it said the Houston Rockets would welcome back James Harden. And I was like, that's kind of, I don't know if they're one of the teams with cap space, but I would assume, not having the numbers in front of me, they have to be because they're one of the youngest teams in the league. But could you imagine, like, yeah, if there's nowhere to go, if you're a guy like Harden, would you consider that kind of thing?
You're on the doorstep of like a championship team. All you have to do is get healthy and you're going to go to, you want to play with Şengün and Jalen Green? Like
the thing with Harden to me that this season has taught me is that it seems like he wants things his specific way. And if there was a team that would give him his specific way, I think he would sign up for it. I don't know who that team would be. I don't think it has to be the Sixers. I think it could be any team that says, hey, James, here are the keys to the castle. It's your show. And who knows who that team would be. But if the Rockets want to make it happen again, I mean, let's sign me up for round two. Let's do it.
That's crazy. So you think Jalen Green's cool with just becoming the next Gerald Green? He's just going to stand there, catch and shoot threes, get a couple dunks.
Jalen Green, the whole thing with that situation right now, it can't get any worse than it is this season, can it? I mean,
thinks he's in the G League. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a mess down there. And
yeah, we don't need to get too into the Jalen Green rabbit hole, but Harden thing though, I will say it's weird that it hasn't happened yet. We're doing this at, it's now 2 a.m. Eastern time. So we should say that, like, if something crazy happens by the time this is out, it's not on us. But you know, the Harden Simmons thing, for it to go down, this is why I'm pessimistic. I am a little pessimistic like you. I kind of want it to happen just because I enjoy chaos. But for it to happen, there are so many stars that have to align that aren't just, hey, we want this trade to happen. First of all, Brooklyn has to know that Ben Simmons is coming back soon, right? There's not that much season left. They need to get him integrated and they want to win a championship this year. So they're not going to be like, hey, Ben, that's cool for you to just continue to not play basketball games. Like, they have to have a guarantee from Ben Simmons in his camp. Hey, I'm coming back to play basketball as soon as possible. Right. Second, all of Brooklyn's stars have to be on board with that, like Kyrie, Kevin Durant. And from what it sounds like, Kevin Durant kind of handpicked kind of how this team was going to look before it happened. Like, he wanted to play with Kyrie. He's played with James in OKC. I'm sure he probably wants to play with James. He's never played with Ben Simmons. Is that something that he's going to be like, yes, I want to do that, when fresh on his mind is probably, hey, we beat Milwaukee by like 50 points last year before everybody got hurt, and Milwaukee won the chip. So if I'm Brooklyn, there's a lot of guys that have to say yes to this before it can happen. And for Philly, you could say the same thing about Ben Simmons' camp. Like, it seems like he's going to force his way to the situation, to a situation that he feels like is okay for him, right? Like, it doesn't seem like he's going to just play by the rules here.
In terms of the guys that have to say yes, because obviously there will be a room full of guys in terms of the Brooklyn Nets organization, do you think that they include Kyrie in that decision-making? Because that fascinates me.
Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know, but I'll tell you who they don't include for sure. Steve Nash.
Oh, man.
Dude, wow. How funny would it be if Steve Nash, like, 2 days after emphatically getting, like, backing up his guy, being like, we're not trading James Harden. Trading James Harden, like, that would just show you how disconnected he is from, like, Sean Marks and the rest of the front office.
So, if he is disconnected, that would assume that he's telling us the truth. Do you think he's telling us the truth, or do you think that there's a disconnect? Because to me, I believed him when he said they're not trading him. He was so adamant about it. And it seems like, is it worth being so, sternly this way? Like, I feel like it would backfire on his reputation a little bit if he was lying to the press.
I think that was kind of a risky move from him, like, from a coaching standpoint, because it's like, I mean, you can't really give a guarantee like that if you're not in charge of that decision, right? Like, you know, you're kind of setting yourself up. It's a lose-lose. Like, if it pays off, then you kind of have the trust of Harden, right? Harden's like, okay, this guy's got my back. If it doesn't pay off, like, you're fucked. And I think Steve Nash, from what it seems like so far, he's a player's coach, right? Like, he doesn't really institute a ton of, you know, scheme, it sounds like, with this team. And why would you? I think that's the right move. Like, you have basketball geniuses on your team. There's no need to overcomplicate things and be fucking Phil Jackson on the Knicks, like, being like, you guys have to run the triangle. You know what I mean? So it's like, I understand it from that point, but I think I believe him. I think he just didn't really realize what he was doing at the time. I think probably he had just thought, like, why would we trade James Harden? We're not going to trade him. Like, again, we were really close to winning the championship last year, like, closer than people remember, you know, and I think he probably maybe just assumed that the front office felt the same way.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible that, you know, they might be in unison, they might not be, but tomorrow and Thursday are going to be insane. Speaking of teams that need to think about Thursday.
Oh, wait, last thing. I never answered your question, though. Do they include Kyrie on these things? I don't think they need to. I think Kyrie just reads their mind. He goes to, like, his prayer room, and he's just like, give me the answer. He's gone. James is gone. I don't think they – do you think they like playing with each other? It doesn't seem that way, does it, like, when you watch them?
Well, they did. They had a nice hug at the end of a game, like, a couple weeks back, probably during their last win. They haven't won in so long.
Goodbye hug.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it seems to me that they don't really – their chemistry isn't that great, but, you know, they don't share the court together ever. Yeah. So it's like, it's hard to tell, like, if they, I feel like they all kind of want to give it a little bit more time, but
yeah,
you know, who knows? Yes, go ahead.
Just the last thing on this. I mean, you know, as well as anybody, you know, you've played organized basketball your whole life. Like, you can really like somebody and not play well with them, like, and have horrible chemistry with them. And it just doesn't work. Like, I like Forrest a lot as a person. It was, just didn't work on the Mafia. I mean, we just didn't say the same thing about my guy, Tony, bro. I love Tony. Tony's my man, but it just didn't come together. You know, sometimes it happens.
The Medill Mafia shout out was epic right there. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes the chemistry was just not, it's just not there on the court. It's hard to tell if that's what's going on in Brooklyn, but, you know, a team that definitely is lacking chemistry, and they have been all season, the Los Angeles Lakers. Tonight, they got their butts whooped by the Milwaukee Bucks, which, you know, it seems like it was an expected thing to happen, but Vegas had the spread at like 3.5. So clearly the line was not expecting this kind of beating. And the Lakers made it close in the fourth quarter, but this was a 30-point game pretty much throughout the majority of the game. And the thing that just stands out the most right now, the Lakers cannot justify doing nothing at the trade deadline. Not to mention, on top of that, you have a guy that they signed in free agency, Kendrick Nunn, who they expect to play a major role on this team. He has had, like, 20 medical setbacks? And now today they announced they're not even going to evaluate him until March. And he's a guy that not only do they need, but they might need to use him as a trade asset. And teams don't even know if he's going to play basketball again at this point. So this whole situation with the Lakers is fascinating. They're going to make a move. It's just a matter of who do you have the Lakers looking to acquire at the deadline?
I'll give you my fake trades, but first of all, it bears mentioning that both Brooklyn and the Lakers got their asses handed to them today. I think everything has gone wrong for them, like as far as like even having trade assets right now. Kendrick Nunn is not in either of my Lakers fake trades, but I'll give you one. You can do one. We can kind of switch off. My first trade is Reggie Bullock for Talen Horton-Tucker straight up. You can throw a pick in there if you're, I don't even know who's higher, who's got a hotter market, Reginald Bullock or Talen Horton-Tucker.
I think personally that Dallas is starting to figure things out and get more comfortable with their roster. I don't think that they are looking to deal Reggie right now because it seems like his chemistry with Luka, he had a game the other night when he had like 8 threes, I think, in a game. Let's hear the next one. Cause I'm going to say no on that one.
The Bullock thing's been a recent thing though. Like he did not start the season well at all.
Very true.
And I know Dallas, there's a lot of talk about them needing a little more juice, from like a ball handling playmaking standpoint, especially because now Brunson and Luka are pretty much exclusively playing together. Like Brunson has a couple minutes here and there where Luka's resting, but you and I have talked about this on the pod before. When Brunson and Luka are not playing, you know, those rare moments when they're not playing, Dallas has like one of the worst offenses in the league because nobody else can dribble the ball more than 2 times without dribbling it off their foot and turning it over. So that's why I think on some levels, the Talen Horton-Tucker thing makes sense because he is that kind of guy that can, you know, look for plays off the dribble. My second trade is is Marvin Bagley III for Talen Horton-Tucker.
I'm not hating on this. I just want to know, do you think Marvin Bagley, who is not getting off the bench in Sacramento, do you think he would get – maybe he would get off
the bench in LA. No, okay. I genuinely – okay, this is a troll trade, but I genuinely think that the Lakers could use just somebody who has, like, some kind of energy off the bench. They're just – to me, they're so lackadaisical with their effort level, like, throughout the game. You know, and I they're missing like that spark plug off the bench. And, you know, say what you want about Marvin Bagley, but the guy comes out there and he does way too many things at once. He's just like, you know, he's shooting like 18 footers when it's like a horrible idea. You know, but that kind of energy kind of translates into some positive things, you know, on occasion of like, hey, he's got like 4 offensive putbacks, you know, and we've seen now guys that have that kind of frenetic live by the sword, die by the sword energy. It works out in some different contexts when they move situations like an Andre Drummond, right? You're talking about a guy who used to be like 7 turnovers a game. And now he's going to Philly and he's carved out a nice role for himself where it's like, all you have to do, bro, is just play hard and not make basketball decisions that are just going to completely kill a possession. And Drummond will still do that from time to time, but he's getting the creative freedom to kind of be himself out there. And he's been really good for Philly. I'm not saying Marvin Bagley is going to do that. I think Marvin Bagley is not a good NBA player, but I think the Lakers need to shake it up somehow. And there's just not a lot of trades they can make. I mean, Talen Horton-Tucker is really the only movable asset they have at $9 million cap hit a year. How do you trade anybody else? How do you trade Russell Westbrook? How do you trade, you know, I just don't see a package revolving around another player.
I agree with you that Talen Horton-Tucker is basically the Lakers' best asset. I have a couple Talen Horton-Tucker trades of my own that I just came up with. So the first one, let's call a spade, Harrison. It's over in New York. I mean, this thing is it's a mess. They've lost 10 of 12.
RJ got hurt tonight.
Julius Randle is back, by
the way. He looks great.
I don't
know. Do you know why, by the way? Quick aside. Dude, what? Mark Berman pissed this guy off so much. Julius Randle's like, all right, I'll be all NBA again.
I love that because yeah, he looks incredible. He looks like he did in the regular season last season.
Yeah.
It's probably too little too late. And listen, the first trade, I don't know if Derrick Rose is going to come back healthy, but how about Derrick Rose for now? This Tibbs is not going to like this. Derrick Rose for Kent Bazemore and THT. So you get THT and you get, you know, a little bit of upside. It's time. I mean, you got to get off of some guys like D Rose.
First of all, it doesn't matter what Tibbs thinks. Apparently Tibbs did not want them to trade for Cam Reddish. So
oh, that's true.
He's already lost the front office.
That is very true. The second trade I had for you. So did you like that one at all? You're a Knicks fan.
I mean, I don't like it, but like at this point, I don't think Knicks fans at this point think of things like I like or don't like that. I think we're kind of at this point where we've entered like it's like if you're really scared of like scary stuff, like horror movies, and your friends drag you into a haunted house and you're just like, well, I can't go back. I mean, well, that's kind of,
I love that. You're not in on Talen Horton-Tucker. You are in on Talen
Horton-Tucker. No, I'm not in on Talen Horton-Tucker.
Damn it.
Dude, we have so many guys that need the touches that he's going to get. Like, we need to evaluate what we have. Like,
would you prioritize Miles McBride higher or Talen Horton-Tucker?
That's a good question. I'm not the biggest Deuce McBride guy, although we haven't seen him at all, which kind of sucks.
So okay.
I think Talen Horton-Tucker is a better player than Miles McBride.
Okay, so we got that on the record. So let's go on to the next fake trade. The next one involves a guy that was traded today, a former Laker, Josh Hart, to the Lakers for Kent Bazemore and Talen Horton-Tucker.
Wait, so the Blazers got Josh Hart, right?
The Blazers got Josh Hart. And we don't know. Are they selling? Are they buying? We don't really know.
That's a good question. They can't do it like that because since they just got Hart, they have to move Hart for one guy.
So that's what I thought the rule was. But the rule is Hart has to be traded by himself.
He
traded for multiple players, but they can't add any players with him. So technically, that opens up a lot of trades that we didn't think of. But yeah, technically, he can be moved by tomorrow.
No, I kind of like Talen Horton-Tucker on the Blazers.
I do too.
I think that's a place that makes sense for him.
His game is kind of like Dennis Smith Jr. with less athleticism. I mean, way less athleticism. They both have to be more creative in the way they score because they can't really shoot. And maybe he can be plugged into that six-man role and see if it works for him in Portland.
I think of Talen Horton-Tucker's ceiling as kind of like a better Kyle Anderson.
I like that.
Where it's like he's got really, really good size and length, and he's creative. Like, to me, like, that's the only thing that I like about his game. Like, he'll do things where I'm like, that was creative, but it's so glaring that he can't shoot, can't finish around the rim, just like Kyle Anderson. But he'll do productive things out there, and I think, like, he needs a team like that that can give him those a little bit of, like, creative freedom, you know?
I agree. I mean, I think that you're absolutely right. He needs a team that will give him that ability to discover his game more. And you know what? Maybe that team, this is the third one and the final one, is the Banger. Indiana Pacers. Let's send it to Indiana. Again, Talen Horton-Tucker and Kent Bazemore to Indiana. Maybe throw him a second round pick, but Lakers would get back Torrey Craig and O'Shea Brissett.
Well, so, I like that for LA.
I do too, but I think I like that too much for LA. I think they're giving up too little to acquire too much. Don't you think it's maybe a little lopsided?
The Pacers might hang up, but dude, LA needs a guy like Torrey Craig. They need a fucking like it's weird that Westbrook's not this guy, but they need an enforcer, you know? Draymond Green talks about this all the time. Like you need a guy that's like gonna fight people.
Can we quickly, because watching this Laker game tonight had me really frustrated. So if I go down the roster right now and I ask you certain players and I say, the question is simple. Can you put him on an 8-man playoff rotation? Yes or no? That's all we need. I'll give you the name and you just say yes or no.
LeBron, you can stop James. At Austin Reeves.
Okay. LeBron James.
Yes.
That's one. Anthony Davis.
Yes.
Russell Westbrook.
No.
Wow. Yeah, I agree. No.
I'm thinking of, like, think about, okay, let's pause on the Westbrook thing just for a second. Like, who's going to be the worst playoff team this year? Like, just, you know, let's just
throw a name. Whoever's in 10th in the West.
Yeah. So let's throw out, like, the Spurs. No, the Spurs are surging, kind of.
Probably going to be the Pelicans.
Yeah. Let's say the Pelicans. Could Westbrook crack the rotation for them in the playoffs? Probably not. I don't know. I don't think so. If let's take away his contract and his name, because that has a lot to do with coaches like putting guys in games. I don't think so. Like, from a pure basketball standpoint.
Yeah, it's
counterproductive.
Rough. He is counterproductive. It's hard to say. I think that it doesn't fit with him and LeBron. He needs to be surrounded by just shooting and just.
Yeah.
You want to be the same player? Fine, you can bulldoze inside, but we need to have shooters all around. I don't know if there's a team that exists. I think it's over. I think it's over. So, okay. So we're at two. Dwight Howard. He's out of the Lakers rotation right now, by the way.
Yeah. I haven't seen him in a while. I don't know if he still has it though. Cause like when he was good for the Lakers, it's not like he was putting up crazy numbers, but he just like knows his role at this point. I'm just not sure if he's that same type of.
So no.
No, I'll say no.
Okay, Carmelo.
Yes.
Yes, I agree. Avery Bradley.
Some nights I would say yes. Most of the time I'd say no.
So let's say 3.5, okay? I'll give you 3.5.
Okay.
I'm not going to include Kendrick Nunn. I don't think he's going to play this season. DeAndre Jordan.
No, God, no.
Wayne Ellington.
No, he's looked bad.
Malik Monk.
Yes.
So we're at 4.5. We got Talen Horton Tucker.
Yes.
Wow. I thought you were going to go no there.
You don't think he can play for the – like, I'm using the Pelicans again.
I don't.
Yeah, I guess the shooting is so – it's glaring.
And then Kent Bazemore.
No.
And then Austin Reeves and Trevor Ariza and Stanley Johnson.
Okay, you know what? Talen Horton Tucker out, Austin Reeves in, Stanley Johnson in.
So, and then Ariza.
Out. Yeah. No, hell no.
So that's 6.5 players that trust on their roster in the playoffs. I actually like LeBron James. I like Anthony Davis.
LeBron is still unbelievable. That reverse dunk he had today.
It's unbelievable.
Like, crazy.
Guys like Carmelo, Austin Reeves. Okay. Malik Monk, you have a semblance of a potential playoff rotation. But you need to probably acquire like two players that you can plug in immediately, because you can't go into the playoffs trusting Trevor Ariza, trusting Avery Bradley, even a guy like Austin Reeves. He's a kid. You don't know if he's going to be super good one game and super inconsistent the next. Same thing with Talen Horton Tucker. The problem with this Lakers team is not that they're one trade away. They need like
two, you're like four trades away. Yeah.
Or four. And they don't have the assets to do it. But the good thing is, I don't think they need like a splash. They need a couple droplets of something. Like, just change up the back end of the roster is really what it comes down to.
Let me ask you this though. We all want to, at least I do, I want to like put a lot of this blame on whoever made the decision-making this summer. But I mean, is this a dramatically different team if they go with the Buddy Hield route versus Russell Westbrook? You know what I mean? If they, because it, to me, it just doesn't seem like they really had that many other options. I mean, Buddy Hield hasn't played well at all this year.
It's just that the Westbrook subtraction is such an addition that maybe it would. Honestly, maybe it would. Yeah, Buddy is what he is. I get what you're saying, but subtracting Westbrook might just be like the greatest thing for this Laker team. Maybe if you just take him out right now, LeBron, AD, and whoever, and maybe one trade, maybe it fixes itself. Because those two at the top, and you want to throw in Malik Monk. They are playing incredible basketball. Like the Lakers,
is it? I wonder what those on-off stats look like of like Russell Westbrook on the floor versus off, and then you know isolating those numbers of like LeBron, AD, and whoever else. Let's say it's like you know Monk, Reeves, Melo, whatever lineup you want to do. I wonder how much of it really shows up because like we can all see what's happening. We can all see that Westbrook is like missing the backboard on some of these shots, like ridiculous. But I wonder if it really is all on him. I'm not saying he's a scapegoat. Maybe he is to a large degree, but how much of this is just the fact that like the fit just isn't there with the whole roster? You know what I mean? Like, I think back to that LA team that won in the bubble, asterisk. But like, you know, you had guys that really complimented each other.
Yeah.
You know, KCP and Kuzma. Kuzma played his role, I think, like really well there. Like he was kind of their defensive stopper because LeBron does not want any of that smoke anymore. He just like doesn't like that. They don't have that guy anymore. You know, there's just so much that's changed about this roster aside from LeBron and AD that it's like, I'm not sure if like just taking out Westbrook and putting in, you know, you want to insert a Yosef Nasser, a little bit like talking about an enforcer. Like, I'm not sure if that's like going to equal, hey, this team is now the dark horse that like literally Phoenix is like, oh shit, we got a game plan against these guys if that's the 1-8, you know?
Yeah, you know, I was on the train that maybe it is just a Westbrook, remove him, and then it fixes itself. But I think I'm leaning towards your side where it's like, yeah, this there's too many leaks in the boat to patch them all up.
He is a big leak, though.
He's a huge leak. I mean, a shark could fit in the middle of that leak. But you mentioned a name that I quickly want to touch on before we get out of here. You mentioned Kyle Kuzma. So today, Washington Wizards star Bradley Beal, season-ending surgery. It's over for him. And probably, I mean, that should just about do it for the Wizards season. So they are going to be maybe doing a Portland situation where they just have a complete fire sale tomorrow and Thursday. The one name that I am curious about is Kyle Kuzma because he's had a great season for them. He's still age 25, 26, still a guy that it looks like you can build around. Do you think that Kyle Kuzma would be moved by the deadline?
Yeah, I do. I actually do. No, that's a good name to throw out there because I think that teams are seeing like, hey, first of all, this guy's an NBA champion.
Yeah.
You know, he's proven himself to – didn't shoot well at all during that playoff run, but, you know, he's proven himself to be able to adapt to a role. They want him to be their defensive stopper that playoff run. And then now he's starting to expand his offensive game too. You know, you're seeing this guy go one-on-one against Danny Avdija in after practice. I don't know if you saw that clip. Incredible footage. Oh, you sent it.
Yeah.
Incredible footage. You know, but I think a ton of teams could use a Kyle Kuzma. What's his contract look like right now?
I believe he makes $13 million a season for the next three seasons.
That's a very flexible contract. I would be shocked if he doesn't get traded. Because if you're the Wizards, I guess the only rationale for keeping him is that he's 25 and he's, you know, he's trending up.
So, yeah, I mean, you made great points, and I want to get to that. I just saw something that we have to touch on before we get out of here.
Uh-oh. It's
kind of more urgent right now. So Russell Westbrook, after the game tonight – if you didn't see it, with 3 seconds to go, he went up to LeBron, he went up to Anthony Davis, who were both sitting on the bench, and Westbrook gave him a little pat on the back and said something. He said something. So they asked Westbrook, what were you saying in that moment? And he said, I told them I wished I could have helped them, but I wasn't in the game to help them out, but that's not my call. The Vogel situation in Los Angeles is the seat, I mean, my ass is hurting right now because my seat is on fire from, I mean, some of the embers are carrying over to Redondo Beach because right now Frank Vogel's seat must be freaking fuming. What kind of quote is that?
I can't wait for them to hire Luke Walton again. Bring him back.
But can you believe that Westbrook said that? I mean, he also said Russell Westbrook feels as if he's earned the right to be in the Lakers closing lineup, but that decision is not up to him. So, I mean, the lack of self-awareness is just, it's crazy. I mean, we were not going to mention this, but man,
what? I cannot wait for when Russell Westbrook gets traded to have the all-access story about LeBron's secret family come out. Give it to me, please. So
that would be epic. I mean, it seems like the way that I looked at Westbrook going to pat those guys on the back at the end of the game, it looked like a guy that was trying to stay in Los Angeles. But, I mean, the way that he basically just – am I overreacting here, Harry, or is this just a straight outing of Frank Vogel and publicly shaming him kind of?
To me, it's that. And on top of that, I think it's like – I think he feels like this is like a – all right, well, I tried my best this season. It looks like it's not going to work out for me kind of situation. You know, I don't know if he thinks he's going to get moved, you know, because that's going to be hard to do. But I think that that's kind of him, I don't want to say like throwing in the towel for the season, but like accepting his fate of like, well, shit, like I'm not a part of like whatever's going on here anymore, you know?
Do you think that the John Wall for Westbrook thing, do you think that there's any leverage to that? Do you think that has any legs?
Maybe. I mean,
would you do that if you were the Rockets?
Oh, for sure. I mean, the thing is, the Rockets haven't okay. The Rockets aren't even playing John Wall right now. I don't know what's going on there. It seems like John doesn't want to play or like, I don't know, risk an injury for some horrible Rockets team. And I guess if you're the Rockets, like you have to already be accepting that you're tanking. Right? Why not bring Westbrook back? Isn't he expiring after?
I believe next season.
Yeah, after next season. That's a huge contract to come off the books. By then, you'll have Jalen Green another year, Şengün another year.
But aren't you worried about Westbrook deterring their growth or no?
Nobody's going to deter Jalen Green's growth. This guy sees only one thing, the basket. I mean, he's not – if you give him the basketball – he's going to shoot it. Does not matter who's – he could be playing with Michael Jordan. He's going to play the exact same way.
So in this scenario where the Rockets get Russell Westbrook, do you think that Kevin Porter Jr. would be a part of their future still, or do you think that that would be a subsequent move that they would make to – because they both play point guard. I not very well, but both of them play the point
guard. Neither of them play point guard very well.
Yeah, I mean, great point. Do you think that they would keep KPJ in that instance?
I don't know. What do you think? That's a good question.
I think they would move him because Westbrook would be probably your point guard for, you know, a year and a half. This season, even if Russ comes in there, you win a few more games, you're still going to end up with a top four pick. So you get the top four pick, you get something back for KPJ, which I would assume. Now, remember, when they got KPJ, they got him for like the 55th pick in the draft, I believe it was. It was something ridiculously low.
Yeah.
And then the thing is his value, it's higher now than it was then, but he's had some moments lately where it's like the immaturity really shows up. And he had a moment a couple weeks ago, he was texting on his phone behind the bench during the middle of a game.
Oh, I saw that.
Not texting, but he was telling
somebody. I think that was an official timeout. But I do agree. Like, there were people caping for him. This is just to explain the situation. He was exchanging numbers with like a Houston like local legend, basically. And you know, there were people caping for him on Twitter. Like, it was an official timeout. There's nothing going on or whatever. And it's like, yeah, that's true. But like, I don't think I've ever seen Giannis do that. I don't think I've ever seen KD do that. Like, you know, I don't know. I agree. There's a lot of weird shit going on with KPJ.
He's still got to be worth a first-round pick, though, right? At least, right? Oh,
yeah. I think so. I mean, you're talking about a guy that had 50 points, like, last year, hit a game winner this year. I mean, he's just not consistent at all. I think he consistently makes, like, horrific basketball decisions.
What about the anger issues? He had an incident with Christian Wood, and I believe they sent him home, didn't they, like, about a month ago. So there's a lot going on with KPJ.
There's a lot to unpack, for sure.
A lot to unpack. It'll be fascinating to see the Rockets at the trade deadline as well. We could do this all night. I mean, they got tons of guys as well. It's going to be fascinating to see. We got to do another pod in the next few days. But is there anything you want to get off your chest before we get out of here?
No, this has been so much fun. This has been a crazy, crazy trade deadline. I can't remember one that's been as action-packed as this in recent
One
years.
last question for you before we get out of here. Is Coby White going to be a Chicago Bull come Thursday evening?
The Bulls are standing pat, and I say that pun intended. They never put, hey, pro tip, if you're a basketball fan out there of your team, if they put a guy on the disabled player exception, that means he's done for the year. If they don't, that means they expect him back. The Bulls never put Patrick Williams on the disabled player exception. They're not moving anybody. They're keeping this team together, and they're going to win the NBA championship.
Wow, what a way to close us out. Timothy Colbert, if you made it this far, buddy, the Lakers stink. It's time to join the Bulls bandwagon. All right, until next time, we are out of here.